Okay, let's look at the source material we have today. We're diving into something a bit different.
Definitely different. Not our usual white paper.
No, this is, well, it sounds almost like pure whimsy on the surface,
Yeah.
an exploration of the Squirrel School.
Right. But I think it's got some serious implications.
I agree. I think this deep dive might actually challenge, how we think about effective knowledge transfer,
Yeah.
especially when things are urgent.
It absolutely does. Our usual sources, their boardrooms, reports. Today, it's deep in the branches of a giant oak tree,
Huh, yeah.
run by squirrels every single fall, getting ready for winter. That context alone, it just immediately sets up stakes that are, frankly, way higher than most corporate training programs. Survival.
That's the mission right there, isn't it? To unpack the structure, the curriculum, the core philosophy of this very focused institution, the Squirrel School,
Yeah.
and see if we can pull out some universal principles about practical shared learning. Because this isn't just like a cozy nest narrative.
No. It's specified as a dedicated seasonal learning environment. The curriculum has to work. It needs to translate directly into survival skills. Now,
It strips away all the non-essentials, you could say.
exactly. We're not talking about, broad learning for enrichment. This is hyper-focused, immediate utility. If you can't gather and store food well, you don't make it through winter. Simple as that.
So let's start with the structure then, because structure, it shapes the learning. Who's actually running this operation? Up in a tree.
Well, the authority seems pretty clear. It's Professor Nutters,
Professor Nutters.
the lead instructor, described explicitly as the wisest squirrel. And the sources give these key visual cues, tiny glasses.
Right, the glasses, a classic signifier.
Sort of a metaphor for intellectual weight, maybe.
Huh.
And he presides over a hollow log desk. It sounds whimsical, but these details, they work to establish legitimacy. In this kind of organic setting, he's the anchor.
It's structure, but applied very sort of naturally. And the students, the squirrels themselves.
They follow suit. They sit in neat rows on twig benches.
So it's not chaos, there's discipline.
Definitely discipline, which suggests that even when learning is super practical, super urgent, you still need that structure, that focus. It's foundational.
But there's that detail, isn't there? While they're in neat rows.
Ah, yes. They're also nibbling on snacks constantly.
Which maybe suggests what? A pedagogical approach that allows for a bit of comfort, maybe self-regulation within the structure.
Could be. It's structured, but maybe not, rigidly authoritarian. There's room for being a squirrel.
Okay, so structured discipline, but with snacks. Now, the curriculum, you said hyper-focus.
Ruthlessly focused. Professor Nutters doesn't kick off with theory, He starts with the absolute number one priority for winter survival,
Which
the
is.
very first lesson, how to gather acorns without falling on your tail.
Okay, that's brilliant. Safety and efficiency right there in the title.
Exactly. It's the perfect example. Start with the highest risk, highest reward practical skill. It summarizes the two key things. Get the acorns, don't get hurt doing it, speed and safety.
Okay, so this is a tight, efficient operation. Then things get interesting.
Yes, the outsiders arrive.
The catalyst. These curious human kids, Emma and Max, they just stumble upon the school and they ask if they can join in.
Which, from a purely operational standpoint, seems like a huge risk, right?
You'd think.
This is winter survival prep. Welcoming to, let's be honest, probably very inefficient, large human students. That could slow everything down. Does the source justify letting them in?
Well, Professor Nutter's response is, I think, the philosophical core of the whole thing. He just twitches his whiskers, apparently, and says, "Why not? Everyone can learn at Squirrel School."
Wow, okay.
Just like that. An immediate, total embrace of inclusion. It doesn't seem driven by efficiency at all. It feels philosophical.
That's a really key point. If we're looking at this as a model, then that willingness to risk short-term inefficiency.
Like the humans slowing things down.
Right. Risking that for the sake of being inclusive, it suggests that maybe the other goals like collaboration, sharing knowledge, are just as vital as the main survival goal.
It shows a kind of institutional flexibility, maybe, that lots of human organizations could learn from.
I think so, definitely. Many fail to achieve that kind of openness.
Absolutely. And that openness, that welcoming attitude, it really sets the stage for the next part, doesn't it? The actual learning process.
Which is all about doing, experiential learning, action, and importantly, failure.
Yes. The classes are described as hilarious, which to me, that's a huge sign. It points to a healthy feedback environment, low stakes for mistakes.
Laughter seems to be the correction loop. It takes the sting out of the mistake,
Totally.
Look at that first example lesson. Leaf jumping 101.
Leaf jumping 101.
Huh.
Sounds fun.
The squirrels demonstrate, you know, effective technique, leaping into leaf piles without losing balance, which is actually a crucial skill later for, like, camouflaging their acorn stashes.
Ah, okay. Practical application again. So what happens when Max, the human kid, tries it?
Well, the source is pretty clear. Max lands completely upside down, fails the objective, spectacularly, probably.
Right. And the reaction isn't what? A bad grade? A timeout?
No. Shared laughter. Everyone laughs together. And that's just, it's profound for skill acquisition, isn't it?
It really is.
When the immediate consequence of failing is just humor, that whole cognitive load, the anxiety about performing, it drops way down.
So Max is probably way more likely to just jump up and try again.
Exactly. Immediately. Rather than if he'd been, you know, scolded or criticized.
It turns failure from this big, scary stop sign into just, well, an essential, maybe even amusing part of getting it right. Instant feedback.
Yeah.
Very physical. Delivered positively.
Yeah. Now contrast that with the second lesson example. Acorn storage science.
Okay, different kind of skill.
Totally different. This is about hiding acorns, secret places. It's organizational. It's a memory task. Not the same kind of motor skills as leaf jumping.
And here, the human student, Emma, her challenge was different too, right?
Yeah, it wasn't physical for her. It was cognitive. She just couldn't remember where she hit her nuts.
Huh. Okay. So that highlights how, even in a practical curriculum, learners hit different walls. Physical mastery versus, like, memory or executive function.
And what's fascinating is how this squirrel school model, it seems adaptive enough to just reveal these different learning gaps instantly through action.
And the results. By lunchtime, apparently, the kids had made real progress.
Measurable outcomes, observable. They were climbing branches much better. They were trying the tail balancing thing.
Probably not quite mastering that one.
Ha! Probably not, but trying. And they were organizing these detailed leaf notebooks.
So the system, it seems to balance the abstract knowledge, like the lesson title, with immediate, physical, sometimes messy, sometimes unsuccessful practice.
Leading to really rapid skill transfer. They're picking up skills way outside their normal experience.
They probably learned more about physical competence in one morning than in, I don't know, a month of standard PE class that's heavy on theory.
Because the application is right now, the brain isn't filing it away as abstract theory, it's processing it as necessary action.
That feels like the big takeaway for, you know, any organization trying to upskill people quickly.
Manage the stakes, maybe use humor, ensure immediate application, and, crucially, reduce the punitive side of making mistakes early on.
Which shifts our focus a bit from the how they learn to the why. Professor Nutters doesn't just send them off after lunch.
No, he wraps it up. He doesn't let them leave with just climbing skills. He delivers the core philosophy.
He saves the deeper meaning for the end.
Right. He reminds everyone, squirrels and humans, that the school's purpose, it goes beyond just the immediate functional goal of surviving winter. He actually clarifies, squirrel school isn't just about preparing for winter.
Okay. So the curriculum, all that practical stuff, it's really a vehicle, not the final destination.
Exactly.
So what are the deeper pillars he points to?
He names three things. And they feel universally applicable, really, to any successful team effort. Teamwork, fun, and learning from one another.
Teamwork, fun, and learning from each other.
The focus shifts, right, from just my acorns, my survival, to the collective experience. The school teaches that preparation works best when it's collaborative, and maybe when it has a light touch, when it's fun.
That shift is really important, and it's cemented, isn't it, by the reward they get.
Yes, the reward, not a certificate of completion, something tangible, universal.
Everyone gets one.
Everyone. Squirrels, humans, didn't matter. They each received a shiny acorn medal.
A shiny acorn medal. I love that.
It signifies accomplishment, right? Recognition for effort. But importantly, regardless of species or even how well they did, Max, landing upside down, presumably still got his medal.
So the medal is an equalizer. It validates participation, collaboration, just trying. Not necessarily perfection.
Exactly. It affirms that showing up, trying, learning together, even if you faceplant in the leaves, that's a success. That's worthy of recognition.
Okay, so if we try to synthesize the big themes here for Emma and Max and, you know, for us listening, what are the main takeaways from this very specific source?
I think there are three main principles we can pull out. First, just recognizing the value of that cross-disciplinary learning. Or maybe cross-species learning here.
Fine.
The fun and, yeah, the silliness that comes from teaching and learning across those perceived differences. The squirrels learned about human clumsiness, maybe? The humans definitely learned about squirrel efficiency.
Okay, shared learning across differences. What's second?
Second is the critical importance of preparation. Capital P, preparation. That was the school foundation, obviously.
Right, winter's coming.
But it gets redefined, doesn't it? To include social readiness, emotional readiness, teamwork, fun, not just logistics and hoarding nuts.
Got it. Preparation broadened. And third?
Third, I think, is the necessity of respecting the immediate real-world environment. For them, it was respecting nature, the woods, the seasons.
Mm-hmm.
In, say, a business context, that translates to respecting market conditions or operational realities, maybe customer needs. The learning model has to be grounded in the actual environment it's meant to serve.
Makes sense. So shared learning, broader preparation, respecting the real world. It all seems to wrap up into that final idea from Professor Nutter's.
That learning is explicitly called an adventure.
An adventure, yeah.
And that everyone, big or small, expert or novice, squirrel or human, has something valuable to teach and something valuable to learn. It's actually, when you break it down, quite a sophisticated pedagogical model hiding in this simple story.
It really is.
Yeah, that's the bottom line for the Squirrel School model, I think. Highly practical, super collaborative, driven by humor, where the feedback is instant and the consequences for messing up are low.
We've seen how that lightweight structure, like Professor Nutter's glasses,
mm-hmm.
fostering inclusion by welcoming the humans and using humor to kind of cushion failure, how those things are actually essential for mastering really high-stakes skills.
Yep.
Okay, so we've spent this whole deep dive analyzing a curriculum that was laser-focused on preparation for an existential threat winter. But Professor Nutter's himself said the real goal included teamwork and fun while pursuing that necessity.
Right. The how mattered as much as the what.
So let's turn this back on us, on you listening. If the goal is teamwork and fun in pursuit of practical necessity, what's a necessary practical life skill, something you might teach or need to learn, that exists completely outside any formal classroom right now?
Oh, interesting. Practical life skills, maybe like advanced emergency negotiation tactics, but specifically with a toddler.
Huh. Okay, yeah, that's high stakes, immediate application needed.
Definitely stressful conditions. Or mastering the art of parallel parking, not just a car, but like a big moving van on a busy street.
Ooh, yeah. That requires skill, calm under pressure.
Yeah.
Teamwork if someone's guiding you poorly.
Right. Things that demand instant application, often under stress, that you mostly learn by, well, doing and probably failing a few times first.
Okay, so think about that skill. And then think about that shiny acorn medal, that simple universal nod for just trying and participating. What simple, maybe unconventional medal would you award for mastering that particular highly practical everyday skill?
Good question. What's the equivalent of a shiny acorn for successfully negotiating with a 2-year-old?
Exactly. Something to chew on until our next deep dive.